A 45-year-old man living in New York got a call from his father. His parents had retired to Arizona. In this phone call, the father, very agitated, said, "Son, I've had it. Your mother and I are getting a divorce. 45 years is enough. Tell your sister." And he hung up. Well, the son was distressed. This is the first thing he'd ever heard about any problems with his parents. He got on the phone and called his sister in Chicago. Dad just called. Mom and Dad are getting a divorce. The sister was likewise utterly shocked. Nothing like this had ever crossed their mind. She said, "They're not getting a divorce. Something, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to call them right now. I'll call you back." They hung up. She called her father in Arizona. "Dad, I don't know what's going on. You and Mom are not getting a divorce. We're coming there. We're going to straighten this out. We'll be there tomorrow. My brother and I will be there tomorrow." Hung up, and the father hung up too and looked over at his wife and said, "Well, the kids are coming for Thanksgiving and they're paying their own way." Well, a lot of us are going to get together for Thanksgiving under different motivations and reasons, but that's what this week is about, isn't it? But it's not just about getting together. It's about gratitude. And that's what we're thinking about today. Thanksgiving is meant to be about gratitude. Now, football's been pushing its way in there for a long time, and somebody noted that it takes about 6 or 7 hours to make a Thanksgiving dinner and about 15 minutes to eat it, and at halftime is about 15 minutes, and that's no coincidence. But Thanksgiving is about gratitude, and therefore it's obvious we're going to talk about that today, as often we do, and often we must. We're talking in a three-part sermon series about three of the greatest gifts that you can ever give. Last week, we talked about how important it is to generously give forgiveness. And today, the scriptures tell us that one of the most important gifts you can ever give, one of the greatest gifts you can ever give, is the gift of gratitude, abundant gratitude to God. And that's an important distinction. We're not talking up here about saying thanks to everybody around for all they do. That's okay, and that's good. But today we're talking about abundant gratitude given to God. The Bible text is something that we're going to review now because it's such a great classic story. So you can look in your insert or on the screen as we walk through it again. Because this story that Jesus told is very important in multiple dimensions. So it starts out with Jesus walking along the border of Galilee and Samaria. Now think about Israel of the time as having three counties. The northern county is Galilee, the center county is Samaria, the southern county is Judea, where Jerusalem is. So he's on the border, the northern border of Galilee and Samaria. But what's really important here is to remember that for hundreds of years there had been hatred and animosity between the Samaritans, people living in the center county, and the Jews who lived in the northern county of Galilee and the southern county of Judea. Great animosity, so much so that an Orthodox Jew would not even put foot on Samaritan soil. So that's where this takes place, on that border. And as Jesus is going into a village, the scriptures tell us 10 men approach him. And all of them have leprosy, the dreaded disease of the day, which was so dreaded and feared that lepers were put in colonies and villages and places all by themselves, unwilling to let them even come near other people. A leper in Jesus' day, if he saw another person who did not have leprosy, would have to yell out, if that was in 50 feet or so, "Unclean! Unclean!" to warn everyone that this disease of leprosy was coming nearby. Other people thought that they were as good as dead. They treated them like dogs, and to keep them from coming any closer because they were so scared of this disease, they throw stones at them. And so these 10 lepers see Jesus, and obviously the word has spread, as it did throughout the land, that Jesus, this healer, this teacher, this miraculous man, doing things that other people had not done, teaching things that were new and revolutionary, they had heard about him. And so they call out to this Jesus. Now they stand at a distance, that necessary barrier. And they call out, "Jesus, Master." So they understand, see, that's how they know that he is a person of significance. "Have pity on us. Have pity on us." So they're asking for something other than rejection and being cast away. Jesus sees them, and by the miraculous power of God that he had, they are cleansed. The leprosy goes away. And we have no way to imagine the incredible joy of that moment, because their life was given back to them. It was almost as if they were dead and now were alive again. And Jesus says, according to the Jewish custom of the day, "Go to the priest and show yourself to them." That was how a person would be allowed to go back into society, back into the temple and synagogue. The priest would say, "You are clean and you are allowed. Go to the priests." And on the way, they're cleaned. They're healed. The point of the story is that as these nine are jumping and celebrating and amazingly just looking at their hands and feet that once were just black stubs of death, they're rejoicing, but one turns around and goes back to Jesus. One. And he is a Samaritan. Repeatedly, Jesus makes the heroes of his stories the most outcast, unwanted people. Samaritans, remember, were unclean, were outcast, were not to be spoken to. Jesus sees this Samaritan who comes back, has cleansed him as well, and the Samaritan falls at Jesus' feet, praising Jesus for this healing, thanking Jesus for his new life. Jesus looks, and with that sense of humanness that Jesus, fully human, fully divine, the human side of Jesus, I think, was a little disappointed and hurt. He says, "Weren't there 10 of you that I healed? Where are the other 9? You get that. You feel that, right? You've been slighted in similar ways, as have I. Were not the other 9 healed as well?" And then he says, "But rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And so, gratitude is all throughout this story of this one man who remembered to go back and to thank Jesus for the healing. Now remember, God does not need our gratitude. God is God. God is not dependent on our gratitude. So, the scriptures, which consistently teach, as the psalmist did this morning, the psalm Carolyn read, "Give thanks to God for he is good." Consistently the scriptures say, "Give thanks." But if God doesn't need our gratitude, because God is God, then why is giving thanks so important? And why is it one of the greatest gifts we can give? And here's the answer. The answer is built on the principle of the scriptures and of life that as you give, so shall you receive. One of the teachings of Jesus in 2 or 3 places is that the more you give, the more you receive. Have you not discovered that? People who go on mission trips with us all the time give and sacrifice and travel and do all kinds of things. And we'll say, "How was the trip?" They come back saying, "I got so much more than I gave." Because when we give, we receive back. It's like when I was playing ball by myself at this middle school as a kid. had a rubber ball. I wanted to practice grounders for the baseball team, but there was nobody to practice with. So I take the ball, I throw it up against the red brick side of the school. The harder I would throw, what? The faster it comes back. There's that principle. You give and it comes back. So why is abundant gratitude so important? Why is it one of the greatest gifts that we can possibly give to God? It's because when we do, we receive back blessings that God wants us to have. And there's three I want to lift up with you right now. The first is humility. Someone has written this. They said, there is one road to lead to God, and that is the road of humility. And humility is one of the hardest things for we prideful, sinful, self-centered humans. But humility is a road to God. And if you notice the Samaritan, what did the Samaritan who was healed and who came back, the one who said thank you, what did he do? He threw himself where? At Jesus' feet. Right. And that is an act of humility. Ever so much as when someone kneels at this altar or when you kneel anywhere in acknowledging God, humility is expressed in your kneeling. Falling down before God is an act of humility. That's what the Samaritan did. He humbled himself. When we give abundant thanks to God, we're acknowledging that God is God and we're not. That everything starts with God and not with us. And it keeps us from that sense of entitlement that's so easy to creep into our minds. It keeps us from whining about what we don't have. And it reminds us, if we do it enough, that God is the source of all. And we are his humble servants. So it keeps us in that right relationship of God through this important gift of humility. One research study suggests that on Thanksgiving Day, not everyone who sits at a nice meal will say a thank you prayer before they eat. What percentage, just take a guess in your mind, what percentage of people will not say a prayer on Thanksgiving Day with all this food in front of them? What do you think? Well, the research study I showed says 48% of people will see all this food, acknowledge it's Thanksgiving Day in our country, and not thank God. Now, presumably, they thank Grandma for the apple pie and Aunt Tilly for the potatoes. I don't know. But they're not going to thank God. Do you get that incredible disconnect? But we, followers of Jesus, know that thanking God, whether it's Thanksgiving Day or any day, and whether it's with a table filled with food or a morsel of bread, we thank God because God's the provider of it all, and we remain humble before God. Gratitude gives us humility. Gratitude also, as we give it to God and receive back, as the Samaritan story illustrates, gratitude gives us healing. Now, the Samaritan was healed by Jesus of the leprosy. We get that. They all were. One said thanks. But there is healing power in gratitude. There's healing power in gratitude. It's interesting to know. They are healed. He comes back, falls at Jesus' feet, and then at the end of the text, Jesus says, your faith has made you well. You see, health and wholeness and holiness all come from the same root word. And to be well is not just to be cured of a disease. It is to be healthy, whole, and holy. And Jesus knows it's his faith that makes him well in a much broader sense than simply not having leprosy anymore. When we give thanks, there is a healing that comes in our diseases. Not just our disease, but our diseases. You see, gratitude wards off resentment and anger and envy and fear and anxiety. Envy, fear, anxiety. These things are diseases of the soul. Giving thanks to God heals them. Listen to what one counselor from our own church said about this gratitude. She wrote, "I tell my clients that gratitude and compassion are the two emotions and actions that can neutralize our negative emotions, including anger, anxiety, and depression." Thanking God gives healing to our soul, to our minds, to our relationships. How much better in your relationships, especially wherever there is strain, to be saying thank you to God for that relationship rather than complaining about what you don't have. And maybe this story tells it well. It's the story of a man whose wife had left him. He had no kids. And so one day, in great depression and discouragement, he went to the local diner. It was one of those long, narrow diners with a lot of stools and several cubby holes. It wasn't terribly big, but he sat at the counter drinking his coffee, stirring his coffee. The place was not packed, but there were plenty of people. Nobody was talking, and he was discouraged and depressed. And a family comes in, a mom and two kids. They sit down in one of the booths. Food comes, and this man hears the 7 or 8 year old little girl say to her mom, "Mommy, why don't we pray here?" Apparently they do grace at home, but not out there. And so the mother kind of goes, and the waitress says, "That's a good idea." So the waitress says to everybody in that little diner, "Y'all bow your heads now. She's gonna pray." Now this guy whose wife left him, he's depressed and discouraged, he's stirring his coffee, he's sitting at the table, he bows his head along with everybody else, and guess what this little girl says? "God is great. Now we thank him for our food." After the prayer was over, people lifted their heads. They looked around. They started talking to each other. The mood of the entire little diner lifted. And here's what that depressed, discouraged, broken-hearted man wrote. He said, "My whole frame of mind started to improve. From that little girl's example of thanking God, I started to thank God for all that I did have and stopped majoring in all that I didn't have. I started to be grateful." Gratitude to God is healing. It gives us humility. It gives us healing, and it gives us hope. That cleaned leper was filled with new hope. New hope not just for his life, but for his soul. As Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." Hope comes when we focus on what we have, not on what we don't have. And two powerful examples that I love in the scriptures are these. The first comes from the little-known Old Testament book called Habakkuk. He writes this. He says, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord." The word rejoice means give thanks always in Scripture. Even though all those things, "I will rejoice," he still had hope in God. And Paul in the New Testament is the other powerful example. Paul, that missionary evangelist teacher who, after his conversion to Christianity, went out with joy and power and enthusiasm telling everybody about the risen Jesus. And Paul writes to the church at Corinth, his second letter to them, says, he tells them about his journey. He says, "I've been in prison frequently. I've been flogged more severely than usual. I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones." You think you'd be in a Christian's heart sometimes. Three times I was shipwrecked. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. And he says a little bit later, give thanks in everything. Because he has hope. And when we thank God, just connecting with God in gratitude, we have hope because God is the God of the future, no matter what the present or the past has been. Do you hear that? God is the God of the future. And no matter what's coming in the future, God's going to be there. And so, give thanks to God. And know that in return, you receive the gift of humility. Know that in return, you receive the gift of health, of soul. And in return, you receive new hope. So give thanks in all things, all the time. Thanks be and only be to God.